And I intend going back there. I want to sell this house because we're getting old, and I'd love to go back. But we never had any trouble. It's always been a very nice neighborhood.
When you married, you lived on.
So when I married, I went. My husband somehow got in the army. He really was not their age, but he lived in New York, and I guess where he lived, he was probably a desirable person. And he went in the army, so we lived with my mother and father for several years, and he commuted back and forth from New York. And finally, I used to go, one day I was in New York, met him in New York, and he came running in at 5 o'clock to get the train, and I said, well, you have to come and live in Bridgeport. So he had a very, very hard time getting a job in Bridgeport. He went to many, many places, and he, you know, he had his master's in chemistry, but he just could not get a job. So then he started working for the city. He was a chemist at the sewage treatment plant for many, many years until he retired. Now, what question did you ask?
Okay. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your experiences as a teacher in Bridgeport.
Well, okay.
What was the school system like?
Well, we had a very nice school system. Let's see. I went, I liked teaching, and I worked very hard with the children. I corrected all my papers, you know, and I tried very hard. I tried to teach them to read. And I went to all the meetings, you know, I did everything I was supposed to do. We used to have a teacher's convention. And I always went to the meetings. And the supervisors, we had supervisors. Now, at that time, we had a supervisor, a general supervisor. Then we had supervisors for phys ed and music and things like that. And, of course, the teachers, when the supervisor came, we were petrified. I remember the first time a supervisor came in my room, my name was Mrs. Hurley. Miss Hurley, because nobody got married, and she was tall, and I just fell apart, you know. But she would test the children, you know, and it was entirely different. And then we looked forward to the supervisors, and if they saw us doing something they didn't like, they would tell us, and they would remember the next time, and then we tried to correct it. We had teachers' meetings all the time, and we went to them. So I liked, and we, the teachers, we worked together in the schools. We took them on trips, just like I guess you do today.
You said that a lot of your children were coming from different ethnic backgrounds.
Yes, they did.
Did you have problems with language?
No, you know what, when they talk about bilingual, I can't understand it. Because, well, I used to act things out for them. And if a child came into my room in September, and he was Italian, probably just came from Italy, I don't know, somehow, by June, they could speak English.
Did you have any of the problems with their parents not speaking English?
Oh, no, because parents learned how to speak English. They came to the meetings. They took active part in the PTA. PTA was very, very active. And we had a meeting every month. And it was active. We didn't have, we had lots of children who came who couldn't speak English. Because, you know, there were, we had discipline problems too. I remember the very first day I went to the school, the children were big. They were, we always say they were almost those we were. I don't know what had happened to them, but they had to. They went to another school, and some probably they were discipline problems, and they brought things to school like rats and things, you know. And we'd have to be very, very strict with them. But most of the children we had wanted to learn. Now, some of them couldn't learn because we didn't have anything about like dyslexia or anything like that.
Right.
And we didn't know about the eye movement about children. We knew they couldn't read, and we weren't taught about those things. But I always found a way of doing, trying to teach children. One time I had a boy who couldn't read, and I did everything on earth to make him read, and I couldn't read. So I just couldn't understand. Well, I couldn't teach him to read. So I told my principal, now this is the only time I ever had anything that was unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there was a clinic in Yale. And I said, you know, if he could go to Yale, maybe he could learn to read. And so somehow, I don't know whether I made the contact, she made the contact, because I didn't. And the teacher from Yale came. And I think it was the Gazelle Clinic, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they took, she would not sit talk to me. And the eighth grade teacher took that child to Yale to see if they could find why he couldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew that. They never told me that. I wondered why I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wasn't as aggressive as I should be to find out. But that was the only time, about 10 years later, I found out the principal was called herself protecting me because she didn't want me to be hurt. But I went to all the banquets and things, and a lot of times I went, I know one time they were going to have a banquet, and I had a boyfriend who was a dentist, and he had gone to the Algonquin Club right here in Bridgeport. And to a dental meeting, and although he stayed, the waiters would never pass anything to him because he was black.
Right.
And so one day we were going to have a banquet, our teachers in our school, and it was going to be at the Algonquin Club. And I said, oh, I'm not going. And so my friend said, why aren't you going, Mary? And I said, no, I'm not going. Well, tell me why. I said, I'm not going to tell you why. So the principal said to her, because she's my best friend, why won't Marion go to the banquet? And she says, well, Marion gets that look on her, I'm not going to ask her. So finally the principal asked me, and I told her, she probably won't go. So I went to many places as a first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't worry me.
Right.
I didn't worry me. I had very good friends. The girl, my friends were Irish and Jewish and Italian, and they were Catholics. I went to the synagogue with them.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't worry me at all that I was the only black.
Great. What grades did you teach?
Well, I taught all grades. I started not all but kindergarten and eighth. I started in the third grade. And this was another thing. One day the principal came to me and said, Marion, I would like to have you go and teach the first grade. I have Miss Condon with me, and she is a third grade teacher. Now, I hadn't learned how to fight then, you know.
This was a new teacher coming in.
This was a new teacher coming in. She said, third grade. She'd like to teach third grade. And like a dope, I went and taught Chicken Little. You know, they were talking, teaching Chicken Little in the first grade then.
Mm-hmm.
And that cured me. No one ever, ever asked me to do anything I didn't want to do. I really taught me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that today I see that girl and she kisses me and all. And I don't think she's conscious of the fact
that's
what happened. But I taught all grades and I taught 7th to 8th grade, social studies most of the time.
That's what I teach.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. While you were a teacher in the early years, were there any regulations as to whether teachers could be married or?
Well, yes. During the Depression, the married teachers had to leave. They had to leave. And then when later on they started back again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had to leave to give jobs
to the single people.
Mm-hmm. What was Bridgeport like during the Depression?
Now, some of my friends could be telling you, because Well, it was bad. You know, we had rationing, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
But my father was a kind of a man. He always had a job. You know, he didn't have one job or two, mm-hmm. Two jobs. He had three jobs. Because I told you he worked at this catering place.
Right.
And then he worked in many, many places. But then my father did get out of job. When they closed the locomotive factory down, my father was out of job for mm-hmm. a long time. And then he did, you know, extra jobs. But then he was the first black man to work in the jail on North Avenue.
North Avenue.
Mm-hmm. He had charges of food
mm-hmm.
In North Avenue. And he worked there until he retired. And he got to Mrs. Lancaster, who was a nurse. She worked in there.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, the sheriff, and my father were very good friends, and my father liked the people who went to jail, and he was very kind to mm-hmm. them.
That's good. You know, you've mentioned a lot that your father was involved in politics to a degree. Were there any black organizations, political organizations?
Well, yes, well, they weren't black. My father did not belong to any black organization.
Mm-hmm.
He joined the White Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another man who was living, and he goes to the Baptist church. I can't remember his name, but I could find out who was with him. And we'd go to, he'd take me to these rallies.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire Booth Luce was a young woman then. She was just in politics. She was beautiful. And, oh, I said, look at her and hear her speech. And I became, you know, interested in politics.
Mm-hmm.
My father talked about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as black organizations, there were none.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can remember.
Remember. But black people were involved in the political system to some degree.
They were, but they were sort of reluctant.
Mm-hmm.
My father was on the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of other people with him who on election day were on the polls.
Mm-hmm.
But the black people were reluctant to do things. And I guess that's why there aren't many black businesses in Bridgeport today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's because now children, of course then the girls and boys did start going to school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably during the war, their fathers and mothers saw the necessity of an education.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard if there are a lot of jobs around, you know, and like as there was during the war, then I guess that's why they didn't go to school. Mm-hmm. But then children started going to
mm-hmm.
school. I don't know. I belong to Les Tres, Business Professional Club,
mm-hmm.
and that's about 35 years old. And I think we have been a wonderful wonderful way of helping children, because we've been giving these scholarships all of these years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had a great deal mm-hmm. to do with encouraging black youths to go to school.
Do you remember when you first noticed black neighborhoods in Bridgeport? From some of the things that you've been saying, I get the feeling that people were living pretty much all
yes.
over.
Well, yes. When we were, I guess we were about the first to live in another neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
You know, to go to live, because now black people live all over Bridgeport now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we were the first black family. Well, no, they were probably the first or second.
Mm-hmm.
I had a few friends who lived in other neighborhoods. I remember I had a friend who lived on Jackson Avenue. So, but I can't remember any other people. But when I started, when I used to go back to Beardsley Street by, you know, where I was born,
mm-hmm.
and then people were moving in into it, and it was changing.
Mm-hmm.
It would break my heart. My friends started moving away, too.
Mm-hmm.
As they became getting good jobs, they moved away. I don't know, but I still have friends who live in over the east side.
Mm-hmm.
But they have made the neighborhoods better.
Mm-hmm.
They're very nice neighborhoods, Davenport Street and Wilmot Avenue. I have friends who live there. I don't know what happened to Newfield Avenue and Stratford Avenue. When I was a child, you could go up, down, I used to go down and mail a letter, and it was beautiful. Lincoln School was a lovely school. But then the people just came in and ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I went down Newfield Avenue one day, and I said to my husband, they're even taking the shingles off the houses, you know? It's terrible. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. You worked in the school system for 43 years, and you retired. What have you been doing?
Well, when I retired, I have a friend, Mrs. Gardner. She was very active in the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Very active. And she was very active in her church. She went to conventions and all. And when I retired, she just gave me a push into Church Women United. I've been on the council of church, on the board of council mm-hmm. of churches. I worked in Y. So I've just been doing a lot of
things.
You've
remained active.
Yes. And until just a while, I still am active on the council. I was on the council of churches for about 6 years
mm-hmm.
on the board, and I worked on that. And then I became active, a president of Church Women United. And that has been I'm very interested in Church Women United.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of going down now because people are getting older, and we haven't gotten any many young people coming mm-hmm. into it. But the Council of Churches and Church Women United and the Y were my favorite organizations.
Mm-hmm. Saves.
Yeah. You know, I left the Y, and we had a Y secretary who I think she spoiled the Y for Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be getting nicely
back
now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, before we end this, is there anything else that you'd like to...
Well, I hope I haven't been too redundant.
No,
I haven't.
And
I'd like if you, you know, whatever...
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I wish Bridgeport could change. It breaks my heart to go see Main Street
mm-hmm.
and see the things that are happening in Bridgeport. And I just wish we had strong black organizations which could do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the NAACP was very active. They did a great deal. Mrs. Anderson was a wonderful president.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lancaster was a wonderful president. But lately, they just seem to can't. The people don't support
mm-hmm.
them. And that's a very, very bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Were you involved with the NAACP?
No, I've never been involved in the NAACP. For some reason, I don't know why. But I've been involved in these other things,
right,
I
uh-huh.
say. But I wish the young people would take advantage and inspire.
Mm-hmm.
The young people in Bridgeport. And I think the churches should take a better... I'm disappointed in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they have... In my church, I wish there was some way of teaching these young people how to be parents. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's a terrible thing. Young people they don't know how to be parents. I pray all the time, if they don't know how to be parents, let some organization teach them. Let the church do something
mm-hmm.
about it. I think the churches should be more active because Bridgeport has sort of gone down.
Mm-hmm. They need something.
They need the young people who would inspire other people. They need churches who would inspire. They need an active, some kind of an active organization like NAACP.
Well, I think listening to people like yourself will be an inspiration for
yeah.
many of our young people.
Well, I worked all my life in the Y. All my life since I was 15 years old, I worked in some organization. But now that I'm older, I can go out
right.
at night, and
mm-hmm.
I don't feel that I should. I'm
mm-hmm.
still very active in Les Tres.
Right.
Do you know about Les Tres?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I do. But I haven't.
Do you like to be a member?
Not right now.
Uh-huh.
It's a little difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank you very much, Mr. Jennings.
Oh, I hope I haven't.
Very
no.
nice. Yeah.